really, what I want to start with is, let's talk about Rework. Obviously, you co-authored the book with Jason Fried. What's the big idea behind the book Rework?
So the big idea is that we've basically been in business for 11 years, and over those 11 years, we've learned a ton on how to run a really tight ship. We've been self-funded all along. We've changed our business model once from being a consultancy to being a product company, and we've just learned a ton about how to build that kind of company, how to launch products, and how to have success with that. And over those 10 years, all those lessons, we've been trying to share them the best we can. So we've been going to speak at conferences, we've been blogging, we've been doing podcasts, we've been talking to the media, and there's this large inventory of lessons that we've earned expensively over the years. So Rework is basically the best hits, the greatest hits of all the lessons we've learned building the 37 Signals into the multi-million dollar company it is today, launching products and so forth. It contains everything from how to get started with a business, how to not take venture capital and still be all right, how to filter through your ideas, how to hire people, how to deal with growing a company, how to deal with marketing, how to deal with PR, how to deal with all aspects of the company product lifecycle in about, I think, 90 short essays. So a big sort of thing about our whole company is we want to keep things as simple as possible, and we want to be the prime consumers. So we create products that we want to use, that we want to pay for. So Rework is the kind of business book that we wish somebody else has written for us, that we wish we could have bought. Which means that, first of all, it's short. I hate reading long business books. Usually, if they're more than 300 pages, I will not finish the book. So yeah, it needed to be short, and it needed to just be distilled single ideas that I could take, get some inspiration from, and move on. We don't want people to spend too much time reading the book. We want people to read the book quickly, get inspired, and then get on with the job. So that's sort of the idea.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about a little bit more, even about your history. You're a legend, even though you just crossed over 30, or you're 31 now.
Yeah, I just turned 30.
Just turned 30. I mean, you're a legend and have been for the last 15 or so years in the web world. You hooked up back in the early 2000s with Jason. Talk about sort of your history growing up in Denmark, and then the story of you and Jason meeting, and then starting 37 Signals.
Sure. So I'd been interested in computers and so for a long time, but I was never interested in the technical side of things. I thought that programming was not something I was interested in. Like, it was all about math, and I didn't really care too much for all that. So for a long time, I just had a lot of programming friends. Then around 97, I got interested in doing something on the web. I actually started out being a gaming journalist. I was reviewing video games and computer games, and the easiest way to get those published in 97 was certainly not to go to traditional media and try to get them published in a magazine. Mm-hmm. It was much easier just to go on the web and put it up on your own. So I started developing this gaming website, and as part of that, sort of taught myself programming. I needed a program. I needed this web interface for my gaming website, and the easiest way to get around that was just to do it myself. So I got interested in that, and around the 2000s or so, I sort of wasn't so much interested in the gaming side of things anymore, but I had picked up the trade. I had picked up the trade of how to design and implement websites. And around the same time, too, I was following this American company. I was in Denmark at the time, born and raised in Copenhagen, sitting in Copenhagen, finding inspiration for this web design stuff. And I came across the company 37 Signals. And I started following and reading the weblog and seeing the different projects that they had going on. I was really inspired by the incredibly clean, simple design, which, especially at the time, was quite unique. Everybody else was embellishing and making more rounded corners and chrome and fades and what else have you. And here is 37 Signals, which is designing mostly by just a few colors and text.
Yeah.
I was just hugely impressed by that. So around 2001, Jason, the founder, one of the co co-founders of 37 Signals, wanted to build his own product. So he had this idea for a book collection library product that he wanted to build called Single File. So he, too, had the same instinct that I did, which was, well, I want something built. Why shouldn't I just learn how to build it myself? So he started to learn how to program PHP. And a few months into that, he wrote on the Signal versus Noise, the weblog of 37 Signals, hey, guys, I have a few questions about how to program PHP. I think it was something about pagination or something. How do I do this? How do I do that? And I thought, well, hell, I've been reading all this stuff they've been putting out. Like, I know the answer to this question. I should just write him back and contribute that back to him from all that I've gotten out of their teachings. So I write back to Jason. We start trading emails back and forth. And before you know it, Jason realizes that it's actually easier just to hire me to do it than learn programming himself.
Yeah.
So that's how we got started. For the first 6 months of working together, we didn't even speak on the phone.
Hmm.
Everything happened over email. I was 7 time zones away in Copenhagen, and we just got a ton done. Then in 2003, 37 Signals were still doing all this client work, and a problem just came up internally that it was kind of messy, how we were dealing with clients, how we were handling the project, and we got the idea for Basecamp. In the beginning, Basecamp was actually just a product for us, like something that we wanted to use internally at 37 Signals. Started developing it a few months into it, showed it to a couple of other friends in the industry, and they were like, hey, this is exactly what we need too. So we realized that we were not beautiful, unique snowflakes, that there were other people out there just like us who had the same problems that we had. So we decided to turn this internal tool we had been developing into a full-fledged product called Basecamp, and we released that in February of 2004. And then on my technical side of things, I had then, for this Basecamp project, I had decided that I wanted to learn the programming language Ruby. So Ruby was actually, or Basecamp was actually my very first product or project in Ruby. And as part of building Basecamp, I ended up creating this web framework called Ruby on Rails that we since released as open source.
Yeah, and for those who are not familiar, which you got to be under a rock if you aren't, and you're at least in the web world, Ruby on Rails is one of the most widely used. I guess you call it a platform.
Yes.
Are you still? What does that look like now for you? Are you still involved in that? Is it still underneath the 37 Signals banner, or how does that work?
Absolutely. All our products are still built on Ruby on Rails. I'm still sort of the Well, I'm the creator of the framework, and I'm still intimately involved with developing it going forward. We actually just pushed out yesterday the release candidate for Rails 3.0. So we've been developing Rails for all these years since the premiere of Basecamp, and I'm still actively involved. Now we just have a few thousand people helping us developing the system itself and hundreds of thousands of users of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, which you say that so simply. It's a couple of thousand and hundreds of thousands involved in it.
It's quite a movement by this point.
Yeah. Hey, talk about, you mentioned this earlier, but talk about the idea and a lot of this insight and a lot of the way that things get done at 37 Signals is in the is in the book Rework. But if you would, maybe even a couple of insights from the culture of 37 Signals that might be in the book. I mean, what stands out for you that's a very distinct part of who you all are in terms of how you work, how you get things done?
So one of the key principles of 37 Signals is to avoid the dangers of over-collaboration. We think that most companies, especially most companies that sit in an office, tend to over-collaborate. They interrupt each other all the time. They go over to say, hey, look at this thing I just found, or let's talk about this thing. Let's go into a meeting. Let's discuss this. All these things that, in theory, sound like a good idea. Let's get as many brains as possible on the problem and into a meeting room and sit down and hash it out for 4 hours, we think that's a bad idea. We think that over-collaborations is one of the real dangers of the modern workplace, and not being able to get anything done is directly related to that. There's so many people who will go into work, and at the end of the day, they'll say, what did I actually get done? Well, I had a couple of meetings and had a couple of phone calls, but what do I actually have to show at the end of the day for all my work? Well, because of the way 30 Cent and Signal started, where I was seven time zones away in Denmark, we couldn't do this stuff. It was simply not possible for us to waste entire days on the phone or in meetings, in part just because of the time zone difference and just because we weren't in the same location. So we had this realization, actually, when I moved to Chicago in 2005 and started coming to the office, that we got less done. We got less done when I was closer to the rest of the team. And we realized that was because we were now doing as every other company was doing, which was just over-collaborating and interrupting each other too much. So what we have today is a company that's completely based around the work itself. Most of the people work at 30 Cent and Signal. They work from home. We don't have set hours for them. We don't have set meeting times or any of this other stuff. We just have a culture of honoring and looking at the work itself. It's amazing how much work you can get done if you have 4, 5, 6 hours of uninterrupted time where nobody's patting you on the back, no phones are ringing, none of this stuff that happens at most offices today. When you don't have any of this stuff, it's like you're on rocket fuel. You just get so much stuff done. So we try to optimize this for the whole company. Like, this is how the company should work most of the time. And as part of that, we also learned another thing, which is 30 Cent and Signal is almost exclusively builders. We don't have dedicated project managers. We don't have dedicated people whose job it is just to manage other people. We believe in self-driven teams who set their own agenda for a lot of what they do and just get on with the work. And it just becomes so much simpler that way. I think when your main mode of collaboration is showing, hey, look what I did, rather than, hey, let's talk about what we should do tomorrow, the world just becomes an endlessly simpler place, and we become so much more productive. The team today is around 20 people. For a long time, we were less than 10 people. With less than 10 people, we launched 4 major products. We wrote 2 books. We spoke at a ton of conferences. We were writing Signal versus Noise. We released Ruby on Rails. All of these things happened not because Jason and I were working 120-hour days. Not at all. All of this stuff happened because we just cleared up a regular working day to consist mainly of work and not of all this over-collaboration stuff.
Yeah.
And this sort of ties into the second aspect of what we believe in, which is we call the chapter in the book Fire the Workaholics. We don't want people who are working 80, 90, 100-hour weeks at 30 Cent and Signal. We don't believe that that's the best way to get stuff done. We believe people burn out really quickly, and they end up producing just shoddy work that that we have to clean up the week after. So everybody at 30 Cent and Signal tries to work just 40-hour weeks. And what we find is, when you don't fill up the work days with all this other nonsense we've been talking about, 40 hours is more than enough. In fact, if I just get 4 or 5 hours of productive time every day, it's amazing what I'll get done. So that's sort of some of these lessons we just learned by looking at how much did we get done, what were the principles that we applied, and thinking, why are we getting so much more done than most other companies that we know? And we've since doubled in size from the original less than 10 people, and we're 20 people today. And we've been able to keep those levels of productivity, not because we just keep on hiring rock stars, but because we keep on building a rock star environment.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so you've been able to maintain that sense of non-collaboration or you know, no collaboration time at certain times in the day, even with more people on the team.
Absolutely. So the secret to that is we don't have a 20-person team. We have a handful of 3 or 2 people teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one of the key dangers to growing any company is that you just start thinking of them as a whole group, and as though way too many people have to be involved with the majority of decisions. No, they don't. I don't have to be involved with everything. Jason doesn't have to be involved with everything. We found that the magic team size for us is about 3 people. 3 people is just enough so that you don't have to write up big documents to communicate to every stakeholder on the project what's going on, and it's still a good enough size that you can get something meaningful done really fast. So we just, if we hire more people, it'll just mean that we have more three people teams.
Yeah, that's really good. Hey, talk too about, because I know this is a big part of the book, talk too about the valuable lessons you've learned in terms of startup. Because you guys talk so much about being entrepreneurs, and even you talk a lot about it from a capital side. But give us a few thoughts in terms of, you know, for leaders who are trying to start something, they're in the process of getting something launched. I mean, what are the lessons that you've learned and get played out in the book?
Sure. So for us, one of the key lessons is that building a successful business is going to take a long time, no matter how you slice it. There is no magic formula that will give you a shake and bake success in 18 months, no matter what the media tries to tell you about how YouTube sold for $1 billion or what are these once in a million sort of knock it out of the park startups did. The fact is most companies take a long time to be a success. And for us, we knew this from the beginning. We had no illusions that building 37 sequels into the company it is today was going to take 18 months. We were more thinking, well, this might take 5 years. It might take 10 years. So if it's going to take that long, we have to do it right from the beginning. We have to set the right lessons from day one. And one of the key lessons for us is on the financial side of things. We have to build a company that's profitable, can pay for itself and its own development, and will grow accordingly. So that meant not taking a ton of VC money, which we believe teaches you how to spend money, not how to earn money. Hmm. The companies that start out with a huge pot of VC gold, their number one mission on day one is to spend that gold.
Yeah.
That is what the VCs invested in them for. So they'll start hiring business development people and VPs and all this other stuff to balloon the roster of people working at the company. Well, at 37 Signals and at bootstrap companies in general, you don't get that. If I hire somebody new, that is $100,000 that Jason and I and the minority investor we have in the company don't get to share at the end of the year. So we have this principle of thinking like it's your own money. And that is so much simpler to do when it's actually your own money.
Yeah.
So what that meant was when we started this sort of the second phase of 37 Signals, which was when we switched from consulting to product development, we had to pay for that stuff ourselves. So the whole development phase of Basecamp was paid for by the consulting jobs we had at the time. We were not building Basecamp as a full-time endeavor. We were building Basecamp as a side project while we were doing stuff to pay the bills. And I believe that model has never been easier than it is today, which means that the traditional approach of looking at entrepreneurs and startups is that they have to risk everything, have to raise enormous amounts of capital, and then they risk everything, and if it blows up, they're on the streets. Well, that might have been true at some point, but it's certainly true no more when you talk about companies who can operate like we do with electronic products or consulting or any of these other things. We don't have big capital needs. Like, we didn't need to build a factory. If you need to build a factory, that's another story. If you want to design a hit software product, you just don't need that stuff. And then that led us to have just a very constrained development. We had only three people building Basecamp for around 6 months, which means the kind of product that comes out of that is the kind of product that takes three people for 6 months to build.
Right.
Sort of a product of, say, Microsoft designs 100 people for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, that product is going to have all the bells and whistles and buttons and clicks and menus and so on that nobody can understand, because that's the kind of product you build when you have that many resources.
Hmm.
So for entrepreneurs, I'll say start small, start with your own capital for as much as possible. If that's not enough to run it full time, don't run it full time. Run it as a side occupation until it can pay for its own way.
Yeah, that's really good insight. And, you know, I find it so interesting that, you know, in many ways, the products that you all have created as part of 37 Signals have really come out of that you're a customer first, and yeah, that there's something that you wanted to use and you were using.
Absolutely.
I mean, for all the things you've created, you know, whether it's Basecamp or Ruby on Rails. Why do you think, because there seems to be this now, I mean, with, I think the book and the success of the book rework has proven this, and even the response to the products that you all have created. Why is it that those have been so popular? What is it about sort of our culture or sort of where we are in the workspace or in the workplace or corporate environment or whatever it is that that sort of the things you all are talking about, all of a sudden everybody's going, wow, like, because at the end of the day, they're very simple. Right. But what is it? Yep. What is it going on that connects that?
So I think that times has changed in some ways, and the traditional approach to building and launching a company, running projects and so forth, has not kept up. Sort of the lowering capital requirements for starting a new business today, the lowering cost of building software, it's never been cheaper or easier to build something today. And I don't think sort of the business mentality has kept up with that. The business mentality is still stuck in large parts back in the mid-90s, where it was very expensive to develop software. You had to buy very expensive licenses from Oracle, and bandwidth cost an arm and a leg. Now, today, with movements like the open source movement, everything on the infrastructure level is free. It's almost free to get your product hosted. It's almost free to get started, which means that what's left is you. What's left is just you and what you put into it, your own efforts. And I think that's just, it takes a mentality shift to adjust to that new world, where you don't require the permission of somebody else and other people's money to get going. So we're just basically saying, like, what we're seeing, hey guys, this is not how it used to be. Like, things are so much easier now. You can get started without going all through all these hoops. And I think people are just realizing that now that there's enough examples out there of companies like ours, including ourselves, that are doing this, that this actually works.
Yeah.
This is not just a fluke. It's not a fluke that you can build a company like this.
What's been the response? Because you speak all the time, Jason speaks all the time. You guys you're in the media a lot. What has been the response from larger corporations or folks who work in large, Fortune sure. 500 companies? Has it been different than those who are entrepreneurs?
It's very interesting, actually, because the people who work at large companies are just like people anywhere else. Just slightly more beaten down, slightly more disillusioned about the world, and slightly more pessimistic about what could actually work. But the thing is, they know, like, a big response of rework is that, thanks, guys, you put words to things that I already thought. I already thought that we wasted way too much time in meetings, but I didn't want to be the guy who stood up and said that.
Yeah.
So we're basically just giving voice to a lot of things that people already know. They just haven't sort of verbalized that, and they didn't have like a rally cry to back around. But then in big corporation, there is still a lot of pessimism. There's a lot of pessimism because a lot of people working there has tried things in the past, and they've gotten shut down by red tape and bureaucracy. But I think most people, even the most hardened pessimists inside large corporations, they want to believe. They want to believe that there is a simpler way to go, and I think that's why it's even there, the message is resonating. But obviously, it is a whole lot easier to try to implement some of these things that, from a big business perspective, might seem a little radical in a smaller company.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, our team loves the book. I'm a huge fan of 37 Signals and of Basecamp and of Rails. I know all the guys on our team who are developers love Ruby on Rails. And the book is Rework. Pick it up. Get it for your team. It's a great book, a great read, and it's very practical. And as you said earlier, David, it's a short read, which I saw on somebody's blog recently. They said it's the best short business book I've ever read, which is true. Most of the time, business books are way too long anyway, and books in general are too long. So it's a quick read, and it's got a lot of practical insights in it. I got to ask you one more question before I let you go.
Sure.
You just turned 30, so looking back on your 20s, we actually have a lot of 20-somethings who listen to our podcast and will be listening to this interview. What are some of the lessons from your 20s that you feel like are the most important for you that you've learned so far? Anything stand out for you, or maybe even things that happened to you that were sort of benchmarks in life that you look back now and go, wow, that was really, really important now that you're old and 30?
Sure. I think one of the key lessons I've had was when I started out, I had so many things going on. Like, I had all these projects, I had all these ideas, I was chasing 1,000 different problems I wanted to solve or whatever have you. And what I realized was that I don't get anything meaningful done when I do that. Like, most things take a long time. And that means that you have to just pick less. You have to pick less to say yes to, which means that you have to say no to most things coming your way. Hmm. Pick just a few opportunities and then give those everything you have. Don't try to chase like 5, 6 different business ideas and see which one works out. Pick one and just give it all you have for long enough to see whether it's going to work out or not. When we started, or when I got involved with 37 Signals, it was absolutely not a proven thing. For the first year, Basecamp didn't even make enough money to pay our bills at the company. Hmm. For the first year, a lot of people, they give up after 6 months.
Yeah.
So we just stuck through it, and then in the second year, started to pay our bills and put out a little bit of profits, and things just racketed up until we got to the point where we are today. But it didn't happen in 12 or 18 months. It happened in 3, 4, 5 years. So the sticking to itness, the persistency and perseverance, I think, are the two most important things I look back at versus other people I've known who were in exactly my same situation and had certainly the same level of skill that I did. They just chose to be a little all over the place, and that didn't get them that far.
Yeah. Well, good insight. And I got to mention Rails Conference. Talk about Rails Conference, and when is that coming up?
Well, we actually just had the large international Rails conference in the beginning of June.
Okay.
We had about 1,600 Rails developers there, so that was awesome. There's a bunch of regional Rails conferences going on all over the place. And then in November, there's the international Ruby conference in New Orleans. So if you're a Ruby developer and you want to go to a great conference, the Ruby conference is absolutely awesome. Otherwise, we're doing RailsConf again next year, probably in Baltimore as well.
And tell us how all of our leaders, listeners, can keep up with what you're doing and with what 37 Signals are doing.
Sure. So I stopped blogging a while back, and I tweet a bunch now. My Twitter handle is DHH. And then I write most longer pieces on 37signals.com/SBN, which is our Signal versus Noise weblog. So mm-hmm. those are two good places to follow what's going on with the company and what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and again, the book is Rework by David Hansen and Jason Fried, both partners with 37 Signals. And man, thanks for your time, thanks for the insight, and thanks for writing a book that's so practical and helpful for all of us in leadership and all of us in the workspace, and not just developers, but you guys have put out a great work that's really helpful.
Thanks so much.